No relationship can last or thrive without the Holy Spirit. In today's video, I'm going to be talking about four ways that you and I can incorporate the Holy Spirit more in our relationships, because if we do not allow Him to lead and to feed our relationships, then our relationships will bleed. And so we got to begin to really think about all of our relationships and begin to really assess the foundational relationship of all relationships, which is with God. A lot of people have neglected God in their relationships, and God is the only source by which all other resources can sustain our relationship. So the reason why I'm doing this live, because I see a lot of people that I've coached, a lot of clients that I've had who have no awareness and no preparedness for the Holy Spirit to be incorporated to ensure that their relationships last, that their relationships thrive. How many of you all watching me right now, you definitely want your relationship to last? Go ahead and send up a heart. Go ahead and pull up a comment. How many people listening to me right now desire for their relationship with God, desire for their relationship with themselves, desire for their relationship with their spouse or children to last? How many? Each and every one of us desire that, but in order for us to experience it, we have to make sure we fellowship with the Holy Spirit more. Now, here are the four things that you and I must incorporate to include the Holy Spirit more. And of course, I did an acronym spelling the word more, M-O-R-E. And so on a sheet of paper, I want you to take some notes, because thank you, my sister, graciously. Grace says she does. Good. And so let's get right into it. How to incorporate the Holy Spirit more in our relationship, whether you're single, this is talking about you and God and you with yourself. Those who are married, talking about you and God, you and yourself, and you and your spouse. And those with children, we're going to be talking about you and God, you with yourself, you and your spouse, and you with your children. Now, this is how you do it. Let's start with the first letter, M. M, in order to incorporate the Holy Spirit more in your relationships, you have to be mindful of Him, and you have to make more room to pray. You have to be mindful. Mindfulness means, in this regard or this context, means reverence. See, the Holy Spirit is not the weakest link of the triune God. The Holy Spirit is not the third person, like in third place. The Holy Spirit is God. And a lot of us, we treat the Holy Spirit, and so we like, it ain't Father God. It ain't Jesus, but it's the Holy Spirit. So I'm just going to, you know, no, the Holy Spirit is God. You and I must reverence Him. You and I must respect Him. The Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom. The fear of the Holy Spirit is the beginning of all wisdom. If you desire to walk wisely in all of your relationships, if you endeavor to walk in wisdom in every endeavor, you must be mindful of God through His Holy Spirit. You have to be mindful that He must be revered. You must be mindful that He must be reverenced. Because, my friend, if you do not honor and reverence God, the Holy Spirit, then you're not going to reverence any of His designs. See, in order for us to walk in wisdom with His designs, and marriage is God's design, relationships is God's design, we have to reverence the divine. When you and I reverence the divine and reverence His designs, then we begin to see all of our relationships thrive. Do you reverence the Holy Spirit? How many of us have grieved Him? How many of us have neglected and not listened to His voice? In order for you to incorporate the Holy Spirit more in your relationships, you have to reverence Him. You have to be mindful that He is there. You have to be mindful that He is watching, that He is in the midst of everything that you're in the midst of. And so the more mindful you and I are with the Holy Spirit, the better our relationships become. So with God, the more you mindful of the Holy Spirit, the more you are mindful of your areas that need to work. The more mindful you are when it comes to the things that you have to grow in the things of God. More mindful you are when it's time to pray. The more mindful you are when you know for a fact that you need to repent. Relationship with self. The more mindful you are of the Holy Spirit, the more mindful you are of the areas that He desires to renew. With your spouse, the more mindful you are of the Holy Spirit, and the more reverence you have for Him, the more you begin to reverence your husband, reverence your wife. Or as a single person, you'll be As you are mindful of the Holy Spirit and mindful of your areas of growth, then you will be equipped to be also mindful of your spouse, also of children. The more you are mindful and reverence of the Holy Spirit, you'll be more reverent to your children, and also mindful of the people that is under your influence. Right now, by me reverencing the Holy Spirit, I am mindful of you. That determines how I speak to you. That determines how I engage with you. That determines how I use the scriptures with you. Also, in order to incorporate the Holy Spirit more, you have to make more time in prayer. The more we pray, the more we communicate with the Holy Spirit, the more we commune with him, the more that we spend time with him, the better we become. It is through prayer that we are aware. It is through prayer that we prepare. The more we pray to God, the more we reverence the Holy Spirit and talk to him, the more we're open for him to talk to us. The second thing that helps us to incorporate the Holy Spirit more in our relationships is being open to listening to him and being open to him leading. That is difficult because a lot of us, the reason why we don't pray is because we don't want to hear what he has to say, because we know that what he has to say may have us to reroute our way. And then all of a sudden, now that we're rerouted, then that means we have to let go of certain things. And so are you open to listening to him? Is your heart hearted? Do you have a hard head, hard heart, and hard hand? Meaning hard-headed means that you're just going to do what you want to do. You headstrong to go this way. Hard-hearted means you have resentment and unforgiveness in you, and it's hindering you from going forward. Hard-handed means you're not willing to open your hand and be used by him. Are you open to listening to him? Because no matter what the Holy Spirit says, it's what's best for you. Also, are you open to him leading? Men, we have to understand this, that, and I tell women all the time, you want to be with a follower, not just a leader. The best leaders are the best followers. You don't just want a man who leads based upon his zeal, leads based upon his will. You want a man to be led. You want a man that's fed. You don't want a man that's dead towards the Holy Spirit. You want a man that is led by him. And also, fellas, you want to be married to a woman that honors who's leading you. And who's willing to be submitted because you're submitted. But if we're not open to him leading the relationship, then my friend, your relationship will sink. We are not wise enough to sail these relationships. We need the Holy Spirit to be the one that sails our relationship. So we have to allow him to lead. There's been a lot of ways the Holy Spirit has led my marriage that I was perplexed and confused. Why are you leading us through turbulent waters? Why are you leading us through dark seas? Why are you leading us through all these trials? And now that we have gotten to where we are, I am like, God, I am so glad you led this relationship between me and my wife through these seas, because now we know how to be calm in storms. So for those who are just joining, in order for us to incorporate the Holy Spirit more, who is the missing link to a lot of relationships, number one, we have to be mindful that he's God, meaning that we have to reverence him, meaning that we have to honor him, meaning that we have to respect him. Because the Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom. And we also talked how a lot of us, we treat the Holy Spirit like the little brother of the Trinity. But he is God. And so when we get to understand that, then we'll make more time in prayer. We'll make more time to prepare. And number two, we talked about, being open to listening to him. A lot of people in their marriage, in their parenting, in their singleness are not open to listening to the Holy Spirit, because a lot of us do not want to hear what he has to say, because what he has to say will get in the way of the way that we want to go. And also with that, we have to be open to him leading. Are you a good follower? Leaders are good followers. And if you're not open to the Holy Spirit leading, then your relationship's going to stay bleeding. Now let's talk about how to incorporate the Holy Spirit more in our relationships. We have to read scripture and allow scripture to read us if we want our relationships to thrive. Nobody listening to me right now wants their relationships to sink, right? I'll get to your question, I'll get to your question in a minute. But if we desire for our relationship with God to thrive, our relationship with ourselves to thrive, our relationship with our spouse to thrive, our relationship with our children to thrive, our relationship with the people that's under our influence to thrive, we have to be disciplined in reading Scripture. We have to read what He wrote. The Holy Spirit has written the game plan for all relationships. He is the author of the Bible. He authored the Word of God. And the Word of God is just as alive as He is alive. And if we want to thrive, we got to allow the living Word to live in us. So that means we have to read Scripture about God's love towards us that will invigorate a relationship with Him. We have to read the Scriptures about self-love, self-care, self-compassion. We have to read Scriptures when it comes down to our relationship with our spouses, husbands, and wives. We have to read Scripture to find out what the Word of God says about children and how to parent them. And we have to allow the Scripture to read us. The Bible says the Word of God is active and sharper than any two-edged sword. I give this example every time I bring the Scripture up. We all, when we were young, and our mom told us to clean the tub, or to clean the kitchen, or to clean the bathroom. She never told us to clean the bathroom or to clean the kitchen with bar soap. Why didn't our moms or dads tell us to clean with bar soap, but told us to get the Comet, told us to get the Fabuloso, told us to get something else? Because bar soap doesn't have the active ingredients that these other bathroom cleaners have. The more active the thing is, the better the cleaning. And so the Word of God is active, meaning it has active ingredients that can go and separate spirit and soul and get into the crevices and make areas whole and clean. It says it's sharper. That means it cuts. It does surgery. It replaces. The Word of God will hurt you, but it won't harm you. Hurt means it's going to hurt those areas that you idolize, hurt those areas you internalize. But when you allow that Word of God to be activated in you, to renew your mind and then begin to do surgery in you to remove the things, the fatherlessness, to remove the bitterness and remove the issues of your heart, then you will begin to see the level of intensity and vibrancy for you to function as your part in any relationship. So we have to read Scripture, allow Scripture to read us, to incorporate the Holy Spirit more in our relationships. If the Holy Spirit is not incorporated more, our relationships will stay poor. E, and then we're done. We ask you some questions. We have to extend what has been extended. We have to extend what has been extended. Now, what does that mean? The Holy Spirit is patient. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. The Holy Spirit is merciful. The Holy Spirit is gracious. The more we begin to allow the Holy Spirit to fill us, the more we're able to extend grace where needed, extend forgiveness where needed, and we'll be able to feed it. But a lot of people, they don't extend what has been extended. They're not patient. They're not kind. They're not long-suffering. They're not gentle in their relationships. Because they haven't received what has been given. And when you and I begin to embrace what has been extended to us, the patience, the grace, the mercy, then we'll be able to extend and not unrealistically expect. See, issue is the reason why relationships do not thrive is because of unrealistic expectations. Excuse me. And when unrealistic what's up, Amir? What's up, family? And when unrealistic expectations are not met, then we can't extend. But when you begin to understand what has been extended to you and you incorporate the Holy Spirit more, then you can extend to others. So the four things that is required in order for us to allow the Holy Spirit to be incorporated more in our relationships is, number one, we have to be mindful of Him, mindful that He is God and respect Him accordingly. We have to make more time in prayer. Communicate with Him, to vent to Him, to process your feelings, to create an outlet for you, to neutralize certain emotions, to neutralize certain satanic or personal thoughts that are running rampant. Number two, we have to be open to listening to Him, meaning that we got to be able to say, hey, my way is not the way. I've tried it. I've done it. I've realized that the Holy Spirit's way is the best way. Open to listening. Also, being open to Him leading. For us husbands, you'll be able to say, I'm open to you leading me so I can lead my marriage. When it comes to parenting, I'm open to being led by you, Holy Spirit. If you're in a single parent home, if you're a single mom or whatever, I'm open to you leading me. And a lot of single moms have to understand they're not single moms. Single dads have to realize they're not single dads. They have a well-established a person in their relationship. And He'll lead and guide you to all truth. He'll lead and guide you to the truth of parenting your that specific child. Because how you were parented may not be the way this child needs to be parented. That the way you saw marriage may not be the way the Holy Spirit wants you to sow in this marriage and be in this marriage. So when we begin to understand that the leading of the Holy Spirit is I have to submit to His will, because nobody listening to me wants their relationship to sink. All of us want our relationship to sail. But if we don't embrace these teachings and these principles, what's up, my sister? Good to see you. If we don't embrace this, man, then we're not going to succeed. R, we have to read scripture, let scripture read us. E, we have to extend what has been extended to us as well. And so the whole purpose of this video is to set the tone. Of course, for those who know or for those who don't know, I just released my 11th book called The Purpose of Relationships. This book is designed to help you better understand God's design for relationships, God's design for a relationship with Him, God's design for a relationship with us, ourselves, with our own selves, His design for us, how we should relate to a spouse, how we should relate to children, how we should relate to our extended family, how we should relate to friends, how we should relate to those that are under our influence. Because what I've noticed, a lot of us are not willing to understand more about our relationships. And so I'm going to be doing a lot of Instagram lives. I've been doing a lot of YouTube lives, but I haven't been on Instagram much. But I will be here more, and I will be providing more value to help us entrepreneurs, help us doers, help us people that are out here really trying to do a lot of things to help us better understand our purposes as well as our purposes in our relationship. So I'm going to answer a couple of questions or a few questions. And then I'm going to get out your way. She is Brit says, I keep running into exes. Could that mean something? Well, it depends. I doubt it means anything. It just means that either someone's stalking you or someone knows, your ex knows all the areas you are, or you just live in a small town. But the thing is, it doesn't matter who you run into. It's about who you're running with. Because sometimes you could be running into different people, and that can be used demonically as a distraction. Or that could be used as a thing to deplete your emotions, to get you wondering. What you should do, my friend, is say, okay, God, I'm running with you. No matter who I run into, I'm running with you. I'm running my race. And sometimes in order to run your race, you have to erase. In order to run your race, you have to embrace. Two things you got to do to run your race in this context. You have to erase and embrace. First off, you have to embrace. You have to embrace your race and embrace the fact that that ex is an ex for a reason. You have to embrace that that individual no longer is God's source or resource for you at the moment. And sometimes we still have residue. And the more you embrace the Holy Spirit, the more you embrace the race of God, the more you begin to embrace that you're loved by Him, the more you begin to embrace self-care and self-love, the more you begin to embrace your purpose, the more those emotions for your ex begins to be erased. You can't erase the memories, but you can erase the momentum. You can erase the emotions and the power and the potency of them. So just because, and this is an activity I will tell you, if you keep running into an ex, have something already typed on your phone or have a sheet of paper in your purse or wallet. And what you do is you have to, I want you to write on a sheet of paper or write in your notes in your phone all the reasons why that person is an ex. All the reason why that person is not your next. And write down all the reason how that person vexed you. So that when you run into them and you begin to feel those emotions, then you'll begin to go to a document that has black and white. Because sometimes our emotions are so colorful. Our emotions are so vibrant. Our emotions are all over the place that they confuse us. But when you write on black and white and you write on a sheet of paper, write on your phone, the truth is the truth. And so when you begin to look at that, it will remind you to keep pursuing your next. Also, you have to be honest with yourself and realizing that there are still some soul ties there. And so a soul tie is where an area of your soul is tied to a person, to a moment, or to a thing. And no matter how far you go, it keeps you from going where you need to go. And so soul ties are within these areas. See, you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. See, your body, soul, and spirit are interconnected. And depending on what you feed will determine what leads. And so your soul houses your thoughts, houses your memories, houses your emotions, houses your knowledge, houses your perspectives, houses your skills. And that's what they house. One of those six areas are tied to the individual. So the enemy knows that every significant moment creates a significant tie, especially depending on the potency of the experience. He knows that if it's sexual, he knows that if it's based upon an emotional hole, they're going to emotionally hold. Know what I mean? He knows that if you have a significant moment with the individual, it will create significant thoughts and significant memories. And so somewhere in your thought world, you are tied to that guy. And so now you have to examine those thoughts. Why are my thoughts so tied to this person? What are you thinking about that person? What are you thinking about yourself about that person? Are you thinking that you will never find anyone better? Are you thinking that you could have done this differently to keep him? Are you thinking how stupid you were for even being with him? What thoughts are you having about that individual that's keeping you tied to the individual? When you begin to think differently, you will win differently. And so when you begin to say, okay, my thoughts are tied to him, then you investigate. Also, I want you to write down or think through your memories. What memories are tied to him? Were they great memories? Were they sexual memories? Were they bad memories? Because the enemy knows that it's hard and it's probably impossible to forget a memory. And so when you begin to say, okay, I got to change the way I remember the times when we fell in love. Got to change the way I remember, whatever. I'm trying to remix Michael Jackson. We got to change the way we remember. When you remember the times, you got to remember that those times are past times. They're old. Then just think through the other things that I listed. Because somewhere when you run into them, it could be a satanic plot or it could just be random things that happen. But you got to do the homework to work on you, my friend. Hope to help. But go to my YouTube channel and type in soul ties. And I have a lot of videos on soul ties. I have time for maybe a couple more questions. And then I'm going to get out y'all's way. And this video will be posted later. And for all the resources that I have, you can check my links in the description box below. You're so welcome, my sister. I hope that helped. Let me know if it helped you. I want to make sure that those points kind of helped you with that. Any other questions before we go? Okay, good. I'm so glad it helped you, my sister. Wait a couple of seconds. If anybody have any more questions, then we'll go. Thank you all for joining me live. And thank you for joining me later. For those who's watching later, make sure you comment below. Engage with the content. Let me know what you got from it. And hope they help. Okay, about 10 more seconds, I'm going to go. Give it just in case some of you all may be typing right now. All right, love y'all. Y'all be blessed. I catch you on live next time. Peace.